Let's go on to the next question, arising from Mark chapter 10, verse 40. Why did the Lord Jesus say, "But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared"? Why did the Lord Jesus tell James and John to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared? We see the sequence of events. James and John wanted these positions of honor. The Lord Jesus asked them, "Are you able to drink the cup?" That is to tell them that to sit in such a position requires that kind of quality of being. They responded, "We are able." The Lord Jesus had told them, "You do not know what you're asking for." It requires that kind of quality. They had not yet reached that stage, but they thought they had. The Lord Jesus saw what was in their heart. He was compassionate, and he told them, "You shall drink the cup." He would help them. God, in his sovereignty, would prepare them. But after having said all this, he said, "But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." So this helps us to appreciate another aspect of God's sovereignty in relation to true worth. Although God, in his sovereign greatness and wisdom, will help us to develop true worth, we must recognize that it is still God's sovereign decision to assign us whatever place he sees fit in his kingdom. It does not mean that if James and John developed quality in their being, they would sit on the right and on the left. God, in his sovereign decision, will consider many aspects of what he is seeking to do, including his plans and purposes in working out his will. It goes beyond moral quality alone. So God, in his sovereignty, places us in different roles, responsibilities, in different parts of the working of his kingdom, in his will. So we need to distinguish between what is not available to all from that which is available to all. There are some aspects that are available to all of us, but there are some aspects that are not. First, let's consider what is not available to all. This refers to specific positions and responsibilities. Specific positions and responsibilities are assigned by God in his sovereignty. God decides who should fulfill which responsibility, fulfill which position. They are not solely determined by the quality of our being. We see from the scriptures that God's call for Paul was different from God's call for Peter. God decided that Peter should be the apostle to the circumcised and Paul the apostle to the uncircumcised. We read this in Galatians chapter 2, verses 6 to 9. But from those who were of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Well, those who were of reputation contributed nothing to me. But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who effectually worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectually worked for me also to the Gentiles. And recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. God chose Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. The apostle Peter could not insist on being the apostle to the Gentiles. He was called to be the apostle to the circumcised, to the Jews. That is not dependent on moral quality alone. God in his wisdom knows who is most suited for what kind of responsibility and position. Certainly, a high level of responsibility requires moral quality. But moral quality by itself does not determine in absolute terms what responsibility we will shoulder. So when God sovereignly chose Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles, he then sovereignly undertook to teach him and equip him. But this required Paul's choice to be obedient to God's call. So we read in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 to 16, the Lord calling Ananias to go to Saul to lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. In that context, Ananias was hesitant, and the Lord said to him in verse 15, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." He is a chosen instrument of mine. The Lord chose Paul to serve him, to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. And he would suffer much for the name of the Lord Jesus. So Acts chapter 26, verses 9 to 20, describes what Paul went through as he shared his testimony. He mentioned how he was hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He punished the Christians. He tried to force them to blaspheme. He pursued them even to foreign cities. But in the midst of his persecution of the church, the Lord Jesus appeared to him. There was a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around him. And the Lord Jesus said to him, "For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness." We see in verse 19, the Apostle Paul said, "So, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision." So although God in his sovereignty may call us, it still requires our obedience. We have a choice. Will we obey or disobey? What God desires for us will not be fulfilled if we disobey. We must obey if we want to benefit. So we must concentrate on what God in his sovereignty desires for our own lives and fulfill that well. It is very easy for us to be curious about God's purposes for other people and also to compare our context with that of others. Sometimes we think that their context is much easier, more helpful, there's more honor. When we do that, we will not be able to effectively fulfill God's purpose in our lives. In John chapter 21, verses 17 to 22, we see how the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter and told him what would happen to him in the days to come. Verse 19 tells us, "Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" the Lord Jesus was telling Peter how he should follow him and what would take place later in his life. However, in verse 20, we see Peter turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. And in that context, Peter asked the Lord Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" He was distracted. He was not concentrating on what the Lord was saying to him about his own life. He was curious about what God would do with regard to this other disciple. In verse 22, Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." We must concentrate on what God wants of our life. We should not compare with others. We should not be so curious about what will happen to them. But we should do our part faithfully. So too we can see that God's call for Daniel is different from that of Paul. And it's also different from that of Anna or David or Job. What is prepared for them will be correspondingly different. The Lord Jesus referred to what is prepared for them. It's God who will prepare for us what is suitable for us in eternity. And he will prepare us now during our time on earth. All who truly love God will have a meaningful place in God's kingdom. What place it is, it will be meaningful if we truly love him. But the places may be different in various aspects. Let's now then consider what is available for all. The scriptures make clear that what is available for all is moral quality and God's approval and our closeness to him according to true worth. This is available to all. All of us can develop moral quality of the highest level. All of us can gain God's approval. All of us can be very close to God if we develop true worth in our being. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." The Apostle Paul shows us that at the end of his life, he was confident that he would receive the crown of righteousness because he had fought the good fight, he had finished the course, he had kept the faith. He had developed quality in his being. There was true worth in him. So he will be awarded the crown of righteousness. But, he added, "not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." To all who truly love the Lord, they also will receive the crown of righteousness. So this is available to all. All of us can receive the crown of righteousness, be approved by God. Similarly, James chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Blessed is a man, any woman, who perseveres under trial. If we count it all joy when we encounter various trials, we go through them well, we rejoice in God we trust Him, depend on Him, remain faithful to Him, then we will be approved. When that happens, we will receive the crown of life. God has promised the crown of life to all those who truly and deeply love Him. It is conditional upon our persevering, is conditional upon our being approved, upon our truly loving Him. So then, when the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," He was helping us to appreciate this fundamental reality. This path is open to all of us. All of us can be pure in heart, and all of us can see God in a deep and meaningful way, be deeply one with Him, be close to Him, have deep fellowship with Him. We should not seek for that which is not intended for us. But this is intended for all, to be pure in heart, to see God, to know Him deeply. So today we are sought to appreciate God's sovereignty in relation to true worth. If we want to develop deep quality in our being, let us not be afraid. Just because we fail and falter, the deficiencies in us, God sees beyond all this. If in our hearts we are prepared to persevere, to learn, to be humble, to be contrite, to get up and go on, then God in His sovereignty will watch over us, arrange situations for us to go through and to learn well. All of us can learn to drink the cup and go through the baptism. But let us not seek for positions and responsibilities that are not intended for us. God in His sovereignty decides. We learn to be pure in heart, and we shall see God. We shall receive the crown of life, the crown of righteousness. And God will assign to us a meaningful place in His kingdom. Let's come before Him in prayer and ask Him to help us to appreciate His sovereignty and ask Him to teach us how to respond well. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that in Your deep love for us, You sovereignly undertake to help us to grow. We know that although at times our life may be difficult, yet You are watching over us and seeking to help us. We know that Your grace is sufficient for us. In our weakness, we can know Your power. Help us to learn to come to You, trust You, depend on You. Help us to reject all that is from the world. Help us to learn to be faithful to You. Teach us to rejoice in whatever situation that we go through, knowing that You desire to help us to become better in our hearts, to grow in quality in our being. We thank You that You have made every provision for us, and supremely through the cross of the Lord Jesus. We thank You for His death on our behalf. We rejoice in His resurrection, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that You teach us to meaningfully partake of all that You have given to us. We ask that we may draw nearer to You and appreciate in a deeper way what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We come to You and thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen.